So maybe in lieu of the Ramban today, yesterday we looked a little bit at the Ramban Sakdoma. So both sort of somewhat apropos of that in terms of being a Hakdoma and relating to what we spoke about in terms of the Rambam Hilchos Deos, how he understood the Ganaihu, the Talmud Chochem, She Yisaper, and Isha Bashuk. We'll take a look at the beginning of the Ksava HaKabbalahs as serving as an introduction to his Perush al HaTorah. So he has a maimer that he entitles Ma'amar HaTorah, and where he writes, as it were, speaking in the name of Torah. So the first person is Torah speaking, right? This is the Ksava HaKabbalah, as it were, putting the words, personifying Torah, and Torah is speaking. Aleichem kihilos Yaakov ekra. Right, I call out to you the communities, the congregations of Yaakov, v'kol yel b'nei Yisrael. Ki nachlas shakai mimeromim lachem ani. I'm your inheritance. I'm your... From up high, va'aleichem levadchem lemarosha anochi, and your exclusive inheritance, legacy. Lachem beis Yaakov kel chai dvarav higid bi. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the living God, communicated to you through me. Again, this is Torah speaking. His words, Chukim u'mishpatim bi hodia, he made known Chukim u'mishpatim through me, ve'ela ha'edos v'achukim u'mishpatim asher husam bi lefneichem. Kulam amoros tahoros mezukako shevasayim. They're all pure. Every posuk, every mitzvah is a pure saying, sevenfold or seventyfold purified. Ki ruach Hashem Diber bi umilaso al lashoni. Right, when I Torah speak, so I speak with the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol midaber sai ruach Elokim erachefes. Right, the ruach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovers over everything I say. Ein mila v'lashoni im mipi Hashem lo yotza. There's not a word on my tongue which Hashem didn't speak. Ve'ein ruach b'svasa asher ruach Hashem lo nasasa v'hein ki motza fi Hashem kulam heim v'gam yachad. Everything is ben Hashemai. Now here comes sort of the thematic connection to what we spoke about in Hilchos Deos yesterday. Al kain, because the Torah is Dvar Hashem verbatim, so al kein amorai ma'atim heim. That's why the wording in Torah, again, Torah speaking, that's why my words are very sparing. They're very few. Ulerov dvarim lo yifertzu. They don't break forth into being expansive. Hello gam le'enosh alei eretz lo novas fasyaser. Even, right, this is the ultimate kal v'chomer. Even a person, it's not becoming to him to speak unnecessarily more than he needs to. Gam lo adam al pnei adama lo yo'asa harbos dvarim. Again, even for lowly man, it's not appropriate that he should be unnecessarily expansive or elaborate in speaking. Ki nefesh hamidaberes meleyo lo tvunos ein. Let me just read the two lines and then try to understand, we know the Mitzvah Hashem a little bit. Ki nefesh, Maybe a lot. We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Ki nefesh hamedaberes melei Allah tfunas ein cheker. Ein misbar legdudei mada oseha. Lachein kli habaso yichbedu ala nefesh hema oleho letorach. So what did he just say here? The soul is replete with inestimable understanding and innumerable areas of knowledge. Lachein kli habosa yichbudu al hanefesh hema oleha latorach. So the idea here, apparently, again, I think let's go back to understanding a little bit. The idea here, apparently, is ideas and thought are spiritual, right? Ideas are spiritual. Knowledge is spiritual. Speech is physical. Speech is physical. When spiritual knowledge is expressed through speech, so that's a come down for it. There's an element of lowering, of bringing it down from a higher realm to a lower realm in speaking these tevunos and these gedudei mada oseha. Kli habosa, the larynx. Yichbedu ala nefesh. They weigh down, right? Because of their physicality, which makes it something lower, they weigh down the nefesh. They're burdensome. Ve'ein tavo la nefesh b'chevosam. The nefesh doesn't really look forward to their company. Lo yashru be'eineha rov rechbe mirkeves ha-mishna asher lo imahem. It's not really interested in partnering with the imahem, the clay habosar. Ki hi, the nefesh, migovhe meromim makora. The nefesh is from its source. It's hewn from the, again, speaking figuratively, not physically, from the highest of places, v'heim, whereas the clay habosar, gush ofo yesodam, right? Their foundation is in clump of dirt. He, minishmas shakai machtzavta, v'yipar ba'apov nishmas chayim, Vehem, again, the physical faculties of which speech is one, imshochnei bote chomer ma'amodam. Well, they stand, they're positioned with chomer, with material. Uma lo levas melech kamoha, the nefesh, again, with its knowledge, its understanding. So a princess, like as she is, ma la, what reason does she have, lahorid kvod nafsha, to lower her dignity, lechabek cheik amosa, to embrace the bosom of her maidservant, Ba'ashpatos Moshava, from the who's in the lowest position, right? Again, the Bas Melech and the Amosa being being Misholem, where the Nimshal is the Nefesh and the Guf. And therefore, Ma lo lahanim devarim yisodosim b'harire kodesh im shivchosa asher al adamo tmeyo teshev. It was an extraordinary idea here, I will say. As it were, the chokhmah that the nefesh has, again, which is ultimately chokhmah elokis, and therefore kal vachomer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is imparting or sharing the chokhmah, is, as it were, again, it's lowered, almost demeaned by being translated into spoken words, because then you're casting the spiritual in physical form. Because again, speech is something physical. Skipping, at least for the moment, maybe more than that, to the second page, the end of the third line. V'im l'sfas odom lo nachon hachber milin. And if, as the foregoing illustrates and explains, that even when a person is speaking, it's inappropriate that he should be marbe dvarim, because again, it belittles the chokhmah. Af ki le'elokei olam Hashem. So how much more so is that true when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks? Im li yelud isha imrei mitzor nava sehila. If, right, for a human being, right, born of a woman, speaking sparingly, right, mitzor means ze'er, small. Speaking sparingly, nava sehila, it's is praiseworthy. So certainly, af ki le'elokei haruchos l'chol basa. It's a little ironic how this critique of language is so exquisitely beautiful and moving. Okay, but ironic, but not contradictory. Right? And therefore, this is what the Torah, again, remembering that the Ksav HaKabbalah here personifying Torah, so Torah is speaking. That's why we have to understand that Torah is written, again, very, very sparingly. And to therefore adequately understand Torah, one has to realize that the maximum, again, the maximum being limited by human comprehension, because the Torah is intended for us, that the maximum is distilled, the maximum content is being distilled into the minimum number of words. Omnom bidvorai hama'atim asher lefneichem, in my few words, which you have before you, are engraved pure and profound concepts. I I don't know if he means it in the same sense, but it's, at the very least, there's an affinity between the ideas. Maybe it's the same idea, not just an affinity, right? Nefesh HaChayim in Shaar Aleph, what he explains to us, how Machshava is higher than Dibur, that we're a person sort of, where his machshavas reverberate, and that reaches higher than where a person's speech reverberates. Which is why there's always a tension, you know, if we're learning this form of the Chachmei HaMasorah, so there's always a tension, you know, so sometimes we wish, you know, why couldn't the Ramban have, you know, given us a couple of extra sentences? And, you know, morning Seder would have been much easier, you know, if you know, an extra sentence or two in the Mohammeds, you know, morning Seder would have been easier. So part of it, obviously, is just, a major part of it is the gap between the level on which the Ramban is thinking and writing and explaining and where we're holding. And on his level, you know, things are much more explicit than they appear on our level. But part of it also is that the Chachmei HaMasorah, if you can say it in two words, they won't say it in three words. This yesod, that the Divrei Torah are, I don't know, is it too strong a word, that they're demeaned by Riboy Dvarim, if it can be said in two words, it won't be said in three words. Well, Bukharan has in a few places in Kovitz Shi'urim questions that he asked Reb Chaim. He writes, you know, I had a discussion and I asked Moiv Rabbi Hagrach, and the answer is all two or three words. This again is the sugar. This sugar. Dine pidyon, but hekdesh and my sheni. Hekdesh is different. That's Chaim answered him in two, three words, and that's why he wrote his sefer also. That's why it says in the Hakdama to Chaim sefer that. It's the sefer is nikna ba'amal v'yigia because it's written bedvarim ma'atim, and it's an important. It's important that we recognize that yesod, and again, and that's why. Again, in addition to the first factor, obviously, of, you know, just the gap between Libam Shel HaRishonim and where we are, but it's also this yesod that the Divrei Torah are expressed in as sparingly as possible. The Rambam has this idea in a more in an exoteric vein. Right here, it's more esoteric. Again, it's not too esoteric; otherwise, we wouldn't have understood it. The Rambam has two halachas here in Halachas Deyos. If you have, take a look at Vasa. Perek Bey is halachas Dalet and Hey. La'olam yaber odem b'shtika. That's such a gewaltige phrase. You can't translate that literally into English, right? To be marbe b'shtika. You can't translate that literally into English, no, can you? I don't think so. That's not coincidental either. La'olam yaber odem b'shtika. V'lo yedaber ela o b'dvar chochma, o b'dvar m'shetzach lan l'chai gufo. Omer al Rav Talmid Ravina Kadosh, l'asach sicha v'teil kol yom, v'zor sicha z'vel kol odem. V'afil b'tzorki ha'aguf lo yaber odem dvar, v'alzeti v'chacham v'omu kol amar b'dvar mevi chet. V'omer lo matzosi l'aguf tov ala shtika. V'chem b'dvei tov b'dvei chochma, yu d'vei ha'chocham ma'atim v'nyanei merubim. Avalam hoya advar merubim, I'm skipping a line, v'ha inyan mu'a tarez o sichlus, v'al zeh ne'am ha'kibah ha'chalom b'rov inyan v'kol ksil b'rov dvar. Okay, so in the manuscript, this is two halachas, but they are connected, right? The Rambam has a v'chem. Fine. Then the Rambam seemingly begins again to talk about the advantages of speaking sparingly. Halacha hey, siag lachach mashtika. V'fichach lo yimahe lohoshev v'lo yarbe ladaber. V'yilamed l'talmidim b'shuvah v'nachas b'lo tza'oka b'lo avichos l'osham. Husha shlomo omer d'vei chachomim b'nachas nishmoim. So the Rambam has two different halachas here. First he says, v'olam yaber odem b'shtika, and in that context he didn't quote siag l'chach m'shtika. Then he begins all over again, siag l'chach m'shtika. What's strange is that in Halacha Hey, where the Rambam is talking about Siag L'chach Mashtika, what's that got to do with that he should, when he talks, he should talk B'shuva V'nachas B'lo Tza'oka? One thing is how many words you say, and the other is, you know, do you speak them softly or do you scream them at the top of your lungs? And in the Rambam, it sounds somehow or other that there's a flow here, right? That it's all stemming from the same root. So my father Zechon Levach said a gewaltige pshat. He said the Rambam has two halachas. The Rambam halacha dalet is talking about that if a person talks too much, he gets into trouble. A person talks too much, eventually call him abed varim. How does it go? Call him abed varim, maybe chayt. A person talks too much, eventually he's gonna embarrass someone, Rahman al-Islam, he's gonna say Lashon Hara, the person is gonna cross lines in terms of his speech. And even in learning, at a certain point, if a person over explains something, so it becomes confusing. Right? If you this kolamos of goreya, even in teaching and explaining, at a certain point, if something is clear, and you keep on going, you'll confuse it. So that's what halacha dalet is. Halacha dalet is again riboy shtika as a safeguard to the potential harm that can be caused by riboy dvar. But then halacha hey, the Rambam is not talking about avoiding chet. Not talking about, the Rambam is talking about that effective use of speech. When a person speaks and measures his words, so then his speech is more effective. He's not talking about avoiding chet, he's talking about maximizing the potential of dibur. Siog not in a sense of avoiding aveira, but siog in a sense of an enhancing a kiyum. And that's why the Rambam says that Yilame the Talmidim Beshuva Vanachas is the same theme as speaking with measured words. Because the point here is not avoiding chait, and it's not a gzeres hakosuv of miyud dibur, but it's rather how to employ the faculty of speech in the most effective manner. So that's a function partially of choosing one's words carefully. It's also a function of lo yamahe lohashiv, that a person should stop and collect his thoughts first so that what he says is organized and to the point. And it's also part of it is that it's below avichas lashon. And the pshat in the pasuk, when the Rambam quotes, divrei chachamim menachas nishmoim, so davar nishma, it's not only saying that it's the midah of a chacham to speak softly, but what it means is, right, the way Chazal say, for instance, k'shem shemitzvah loma davar hanishma. Davar nishma means something that's heard in the sense that people acolate, people accept it, that it registers and hits the mark. So divrei chachamim benachas, because they said benachas, that's why they're nishmoim. Again, nishmoim not just in the sense of heard in an auditory sense, but heard in the sense of hitting the mark, of registering upon the levavos hashomim. So again, so this is a sort of an exoteric reason for economizing in speech, and the Ksav Vakabal is telling us more of a metaphysical and therefore somewhat esoteric reason, but they halacha lemaisa, that they converge.
The rule of the Ksav Vakabal is why by so many mitzvos, if machshav is a much more spiritual thing, why by so many mitzvos are we required to do a pipeh when it can be done delayed?
So two parts to the answer. One part is that Eino Chanami, I mean, the goal is the Machshava. And the same way, I think, we discussed, let's say, the Ramban, that really on Shabbos, what the Torah is interested in is that we should be, right, that you know, before people were trying to figure out how to get people to turn off their cell phones in the basement, there's disconnect so you can connect. So the Ramban had it, almost, I don't know, what, 900 years ago, 800 years ago. He had it before everyone else. And that's what Melech HaShabbos is according to them about, right? Disconnect so you can connect. So part of the answer to your question is that Eino Chanami, the point or the end goal of the mitzvos ma'asiyos is the machshava. You know, in the Lashonos of the Chovos HaLevavos, you know, the Chovos HaEvarim are to foster the Chovos HaLevavos. Number two, because again, it can be expressed in different ways, but we'll express it, you know, since we were just reading the Ksav HaKabbalah in the way he was speaking. You know, in this marriage of nefesh and guf, of in Olam Hazeh, So we begin by experiencing the guf much more than the nefesh. And a newborn baby, so the baby knows when he's hungry. The baby knows when he's uncomfortable, either because there's some ear trapped that needs to be exhaled, or because the diaper has to be changed. So we begin, and that's Damei and Bosser, right? So that's us, right? It's not babies, that's us, right? So that's where we begin, right? So Damei and Bosser, a person begins much more attuned and therefore much more oriented towards the physical than the spiritual. So we then need to, as we get older, we need to sort of use the physical to get back to the, well, for whatever reason, that's the way the Baruch Hashem created the world. So because of that, we can't just be given mitzvahs which speak only to the machshava. No, we need to be told how to use the guf to get back there. I think maybe those are the two parts.
If Kalpa and Malo, Kodesh Baruch Hu obviously made the Torah, so Kodesh Baruch Hu was above Dibur, and he's above Machshav, and he's above all these things. So by Hashem, it's not a separate thing. So how is that almost like watering it down? Especially if if the Malachim wanted to receive the Torah, the Malachim aren't shy to the physical world. So, why is it advantageous to be mamayit everything in such a bekitzer type of way if that's not even what?
Because we've done that, you're asking very well. Because Torah is a davar hanivra. Kadosh Baruch Hu created Torah to give us access on some level to Chochmas Hashem. So because of that, even though, obviously, as you said entirely correctly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all these categories, but these categories are applicable, the same way, if you're knitting a sweater, you're knitting a sweater to the size of the person you intended for. So if you're knitting a sweater for a little child, so Einochanami, it's the sizes are not appropriate for you, but you are operating with those sizes because it's not intended for you. It's intended for the child who's the recipient, who's going to be the recipient. So Torah is being lowered into, again, the physicality of words of speech, because again, it's something being created for us. That in terms of the malachim, so presumably the answer to your question is what the Nefesh HaChaim explains. Nefesh HaChaim explains that I don't know. So let's say that this is not his moshel. So if you don't like it, it's okay. Let's say a moshel amad over dome. Sometimes. Sometimes you get freezing rain. So what happens when there's freezing rain? So the meteorologist says the Shtickel Torah and explains to you how you have freezing rain. If it's cold enough for it to be freezing rain, so let it be snow, right? That's the kasha we all have. So the Torah says, no, that in the upper atmosphere where the condensation is forming, so there it's above 32 degrees. And then when it comes down here, it's below 32 degrees, so it enters, so up there it's rain, and down here, it's frozen. So it sort of changes depending upon where it is, right? Whether it's in a liquid form or a solid form, it changes depending upon where it is. So the Nefesh HaChaim explains that as Torah goes through the Olamos, it means it translates according to that world. So in Achanami, I don't think we really have any hasaga of what does the Torah mean in the world of the Malachim? I don't know. I guess ask Hanoch. I don't know, he can give you the differences. But in Achanami, so it's And so we can't really ask, because we have Torah as we have the frozen ring. We have Torah as it appears in this world. Yeah, okay. So then it's a little bit of a process here.